beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of life, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, into the land of perfect day. It will give out a lovely ray. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of grace for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
I think they done it just so I wouldn't preach as long. But I just got my second wind. Woo. Sounded like it too. All right. Remember, if you haven't had a chance to put your name on the food sheet for tonight, please do so today, because you wait till next week, it's going to be too late. So remember that, and please get your name on there. Please come tonight to our Christmas program at 6 o'clock. We are going to have refreshments afterward in a time of fellowship. I still haven't seen on the list that anybody put down the barbecued ribs that I said was finger food as well. But we are going to have barbecued hot dog or weenies and meatballs. So I guess I'll just have to pretend. But anyway, I appreciate everyone, what you've done to get ready for tonight, and all the ones that have put time and effort into practice and getting the props ready and everything. It always is a beautiful thing that we're able to have, and thankful for the talented folks that we have here in the church. God has just blessed us above and beyond, and I thank Him for it. I've been places where people were afraid to use their talents, was afraid that if they done something, somebody might expect something out of them, but I'm thankful that our folks will use their talents for God and for His glory, and I just thank God for that and putting us together as He has. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And you say, well, preacher, it's Christmas time. What are we doing in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah? Well, I want to just talk to you just a little bit about a little bit of prophecy. We have four major prophets that we see in the Old Testament. The first one being Isaiah. His book contains 66 books. The first from chapter 1 of Isaiah to chapter 39 contains the Old Testament part of Isaiah. Then from 40 on to 66 contains 27 chapters, which is considered the New Testament part of Isaiah. And in the first part of Isaiah, we see condemnation for sin. The second part of Isaiah, we see comfort and be not afraid. So what we need to do is we study God's Word and look at the prophets. It is prophecy that is coming to pass, so we won't be surprised of the things that's happening in America. After Isaiah, we see the four major prophets that we have. We have Isaiah. We have Jeremiah that comes along after Isaiah. Jeremiah wrote the book of Jeremiah and also the book of Lamentation. After that, we have Ezekiel. And then after that, we have Daniel. Now, why are they called the major prophets? I'm glad you asked that. It wasn't because they was more important or their message was more important than the other prophets' messages were. They just wrote larger books. We consider them be the major prophets. Now we get into the other prophets, the minor prophets. They are 12 minor prophets. So it tells us together there are 16 prophets here in the Old Testament to tell us about the coming events that take place in the New Testament. And we see now in dealing in Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, we're wanting to see the prophecy concerning Israel at this point in time. But it's also something that has been linked to America. The book, The Harbinger, that I've made mention of before, and Tommy mentioned it to me here several months back, I believe it was, and different ones have mentioned it to me. And I read that book, and I appreciated the book and the work this gentleman done to see all these things and how everything came together concerning Israel and concerning America with this prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10 that we're going to look at in just a few moments of time. But we take this out of context, or some of the officials in America did when they quoted this scripture, not seeing that it was talking about the stubbornness of the people or their disobedience or their arrogance against the invaders that were coming down. Now we see the Assyrian army, which was a great and mighty power in that day and time, came against them and are going to tear down the walls of the defense and break into their city. And we're going to see out of their arrogance, we're going to see out of their pride and against their rebellion and their arrogance that they are going to make a statement concerning what they are going to do. Many times we do the same thing, and we've done it upon 9/11. Our people that was in power quoted this scripture here, using it in the context that they thought it was going to be an encouragement. By the way that it was used and quoted and has been put into place in America, it has brought down the judgment of God upon us for us being out of hand and us misusing God's Word and walking away from God. We know in the prophets of Prophet Jeremiah, he prophesied that there was going to be 70 years, that they were going to be in captivity. That 70 years wasn't just a number that he plucked out of the air. There was a time of Israel's disobedience that they didn't keep the Sabbaths. They didn't keep what they were supposed to. Every 6 years they were to till the land, and on the seventh year it was to rest and be a Sabbath unto God. Seven Sabbath years, which made 49, on the 50th year, any property was to revert back to the original owners. Any slaves that had been taken during that time, bought, or ever how they became slaves to the, whether it was by debt or whether they was purchased, they were released and returned to go back out. But Israel was not keeping God's commandments unto what He had commanded him to do. So you take all the years and you add them up, and there were 70 years. It wasn't just the span of a man's life that they were going to be in captivity. It was the time that they haven't given to God. And if we're not careful in America, we're going to fall into the same kind of judgment taking place upon us. Thank God it's not all come to that pass yet, because we see, first of all, that the Assyrians are the one that's going to come in chapter 9 and tear down the walls and cause a breach. Let me tell you, the same thing happened to us in 9/11. There was a breach in America's security. as they was talking about there was a time in America when you were secure if you went to school. There was a time in America you went to work. You didn't have to worry about the things. The biggest danger you had was on the highway going to and from work because of the drivers and the things that were out there that you couldn't avoid, that you had to drive defensively and watching all these things. But now we just never know. They could someone, God forbid, come in the back door this morning, and I hope some of you big boys in the back will hit them when they come through the door for toting a gun. If you hear me holler, you grab somebody, preferably the one with the gun. But this can happen. You say, preacher, that can't happen in America. We didn't think it could happen in our schools. We didn't think tragedies like this could take place. We never thought that the World Trade Center could be hit by planes designed to bring such destruction. But what was repeated after that is the thing that is grievous to our heart because of the other things that we see take place. Now, the Assyrian army, they came to break the breach of the wall. And we see that Israel thought that they were invulnerable to these things. They were invulnerable to the attacks because they were God's people. They wouldn't nobody be able to come and bring anything to them. They would not be able to bring the fight to them or cause them any distress. Kind of was the attitude in America at one point in time. We were very arrogant that nothing could touch us. And we forgot God and His protection. His hand of protection has been around us. Now in chapter 9 of Isaiah, I want us to get to here. Now remember, Isaiah is in two. It contains two different parts there, the Old Testament part of it and the New Testament part of it. As you look at it, it's got 66 books in the Bible that we have today in our modern Bible that we read and study. And so we look at this and we can compare it to the Old Testament and the New Testament and being a complete Bible. But we see here, this is in the part of condemnation to sin, and we need to still speak against sin, and we need to still tell people that hell is hot, heaven's sweet, that God has a salvation for them, and there's a way that we're to live, not a stiff-necked people, not a rebellious people, not a disobedient people. And at Christmas time, this is a perfect time for this message that God has given us this morning, for us to humble our heart, to come back to God, to repent of our evil ways, and to return to Him as a nation, as a people, as a church, whatever it might be, as an individual, that we need to seek after God. We don't become arrogant and think that this can't happen to us just because we are in the land of milk and honey that God has given us, and turn our backs upon Him and think judgment can't come to America. It's here at our door and it's knocking, and we're seeing the things take place, the things that happened in Wall Street. Well, we'll get to that in just a few moments of time. We'll get on into that. But in chapter 9, verse 1, I want us to read just a little bit before we get down to our key verses for today. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her visitation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now let me tell you, we have had a time when we have walked through despair. We have had a time of testing in America, and we have come through some of the testing that we have seen and returned to God and was faithful to Him. But when this last act that has taken place, we soon forgot how people went back to church and was praying, and the words was upon people's lips about serving God, getting back into His house. The houses were filled. People had God on their lips all the time, but now it has faded away. That now when they speak of God, it's trying to remove Him from the things that we see every day in our life, and we have to return back to Him. The people of Israel forgot their God. They walked away from Him. They thought in their own power and pride that they was going to be able to sustain themselves, that they needed no one, and God let them go through some times of trying to return them unto Him, but they failed to see where they needed to grab hold and stay hold of. And we know that the nation of Israel became separated. They lost their nation status there back up until 1948, whenever they regained status once again. And God brought them back. He did judge them. He did let them be scattered, let them be a conquered people. They went under the rule here, was attacked by the Assyrians to get their attention. And then later on, they were conquered by the Babylonians and taken into captive. Three different deportations that came out of Israel. And we see that as we think about Daniel, he was in the second deportation there. The third one was finally the final destruction of Jerusalem there. And they lost their state capital, if you will say, there in Israel, and did not be a nation there for a long period of time. There was a period of time after the last minor prophet in the Old Testament. There's a 400-year period of absence of God in Israel. Let me tell you, I don't want it to get to that point in time in America that there's an absence of God's presence. He needs to be present with us, and we need to be humble. We need to be on our knees praying. We need to be telling people that there is a future coming. It's not going to be good for those that are outside of God that these things are taking place, and it's not just by coincidence these things are happening. It's by God's divine plan, because we have been a disobedient people. We have got stiff-necked. We don't attend His house. We don't worship Him. We don't pray. We don't read His Word. I'm talking about collectively. I thank God for your dedication to being in God's house, your dedication to studying the Word. I pray that you got a dedication to tell the lost and dying that Jesus is soon to return. And hey, use this for an example. Coming this Friday, they're saying the world's coming to an end. Let me tell you, it ain't going to happen, because we're still here. Amen. There's a 7-year period before the world can come to the end. We got to be gone before it can start. We've not seen it yet. We've not seen it. So let me tell you, you can tell people, if they say, "Oh, I'm worried about Friday," say, "Boy, I'm not. Let me tell you what's got to happen before the world comes to an end. Let me tell you about my Savior that's made a way possible that you don't have to worry about it." But share with them. Just don't say, "I ain't going to worry about it," and let it alone. Use that opportunity and jump through there. God gives us these things that we can use for an opportunity to be able to speak about Him. "Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee accordingly to the joy in the harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." What joy? Do we truly have joy in America anymore? We used to sing the song "Joy to the World." Do we have it? Do we remember what Christmas is about? Do we remember what the birth of Jesus means to us? Do we truly have joy? Joy comes from inside. We talked about this Wednesday night. Happiness comes by something happening to make you be happy. Joy comes from inside, that comes from God. Are we joyous? Are we joyous as Christians? We need to be joyous in the time that we live, to know we're getting closer to home every moment, every minute that ticks by. Could be the one when God says, "That's enough, go get my children," and then 7 years of tribulation is going to hit. Thank God I'm not going to see it, not going to be here to have to go through it, because God said He'd keep me through that great hour of temptation. He said He'd call us home, snatch us away, and thank God I'm going to be there with Him, ever there with Him present, and not have to depart. "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of the oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and a fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born." Now we see here a prophecy in Isaiah. What child is he talking about here? He's going to be talking about the birth of Jesus. The child that's going to be born. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Thank God. And this was his reaching out, trying to reach a nation to tell them where their real hope lied. It wasn't in their statehood. It wasn't just because of what they was able to accumulate and think that they had defenses that were impenetrable. It was in serving God, the Creator, the Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. "Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, for even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let me tell you, he's talking about Christ that was to come. All these years later, Isaiah's prophesying that there's going to be a child born, that the government's going to rest upon his shoulders. Let me tell you, it's not upon the heads in Washington. It's not upon the White House. It's not upon 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Let me tell you where the head of our government needs to rest, and it needs to rest upon God. It needs to rest upon Jesus the Son, because we can't get to the Father unless we go through the Son. We can't enter into God's presence unless
we go through the door. And Jesus said he was the door. Amen. And upon him is where we need to found our government. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob and hath lighted upon Israel. Now we're going to get into some very prophetic words here that have come to pass for one nation. And that we see in America that are being fulfilled. I don't mean just part of it. When you get into it and study, and you can go and you can look some of this up on the internet about the things that have took place since 9/11 to where this deals with this prophecy as we see it being carried out. The harbingers are a warning to us that we need to be telling others that we will be as the scribe for Jeremiah, Barak, and that we will tell and write down the things of God that He shows us, that we will mouth those things that we read in God's Word, that we will still prophesy. That means to speak for God in this day and hour that we live. Modern day prophets are those that spread God's Word, that we share His Word with the lost and dying, that we share His Word and prophesy the coming events that are still to take place that the prophets of old told us about, because they still are happening. They still are taking place. And it's up to us to conform to God, not God to conform to us. Verse 8, it says, "The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart." Pride and stoutness of heart. We thumped upon our chest after 9/11, vowing that we'd get those that were responsible for the attacks on the Trade Center. We wept and we mourned, and we were filled with a righteous indignation against people of a faith that is taught to kill those that don't believe like they do. We had there for a while, we had pride in our country, and we lifted it up and we prayed for it. We had pride in going back to church because we thought that's what we needed to do. Why did the thought so soon fade? Why did it so soon go away? Because it truly wasn't rooted in our heart what we needed to do. We gave lip service instead of life service. And we didn't follow after God. And we had pride and stoutness of heart. We had our official stand, the Senate Majority Leader, the day after on September the 12th, to stand and read these words that I'm about to read to you, quoting them from God's Word, using them in His speech, trying to encourage America that we would rebuild. And all the while, I don't believe the man knew exactly what he was talking about, because he didn't read that it was in the stoutness of their heart and in their pride that they were going to stand and declare this. The thing that we needed to do and what God was trying to get our attention to do was not add and make bigger and better. What was to restore and come back to Him. But how many times when destruction comes do we vow we're going to build bigger and better and stronger, and we're going to be more rebellious, and we're going to stand stronger than we've ever stood before, instead of humbling down and asking God for help? It happens time and time again. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10. "The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, and we will change them into cedars." Now friend, that seems like it's just a few short words there that don't really have much to say if you just read it at a glance. But we can see that the Assyrian army had come and attacked Israel, that they had tore down the walls, that they had caused a breach, that they had uprooted some of the trees that were there. And here they said in their heart, when they saw these things happen, they came in just enough to get Israel's attention. They came in just enough to wake them up and say, "Hey, we are vulnerable." So what did they do when they saw this happen? They said, "The bricks are falling." The bricks that they had were made of clay and straw. They were weak. They weren't perfect because they weren't a pure mixture. Stone that they were thinking about, the huge stone, was something that was hard, that was stronger, that was going to be set up, that was going to last longer, because it wasn't like the bricks that were crudely made. It was hewn stone that was solid and able to be steadfast and set. And they were going to prepare the breach in such a manner. Let me tell you what happened. I believe it was about 2 or 3 years after 9/11 took place. Can't remember the exact year now, so don't quote me on it. But they placed there upon ground zero a huge hewn stone that was referred to as the Freedom Stone, vowing to rebuild bigger and better than ever. In defiance, because they didn't return to God, they've set it up and said, we're going to do this. And this is what we are set out to do. So just like Israel, America has taken the same course. You say, oh, preacher, that's just coincidence. I don't think so. Now that stone has been moved from that location a little bit from where it was originally set. But then we go on into the Scripture and we see here, the sycamores are cut down. There was a little tree on a little place there near ground zero. Little green spot there. Now, sycamores are not supposed to grow here. But this was a type of sycamore that can. It was an English sycamore that was growing there in this location. When the building, the trade center came down, this tree was there, and it was taken down by the debris. As the bricks were falling, as we see in the first part of the verse, as the bricks are falling down and the sycamores are cut down, this tree was uprooted from the place that it was at. But in so doing, there was a small building that it protected. Anybody want to take a guess what it was? Tommy, you don't guess. You've read the book. It was a church that sycamore tree protected. And they say because it was there, saved this building from destruction. Now, it suffered some damage, but not like the things around it. But this sycamore was uprooted. You say, well, that's pretty interesting. Not only that, they took that stump of that tree. They have made a statue of those roots. In those roots of that tree, the original tree that was there on the site, whenever they got there through the debris, in the roots of that tree, there was a brick stuck in those roots. You say coincidence? I think God placed it there. God is trying to show us in America, I want you to return. But too often we take the line, I'm going to do it this way, and it don't matter, God, what you want, I'm going to do it. And in America, we need to return to God. Our president thinks he's got a lot of good ideas. Our House and Senate think they got a lot of good ideas. But until they get on their knees and ask God for help, their ideas are just going to continue to lead us in destruction. They're leaving God out of it and won't even consider asking Him for help. Where are we headed? When they won't institute the National Day of Prayer in the White House and are rebellious and say, no, we're not going to do this any longer. Where are we headed in America? There was a time when Israel was not a nation. You say, preacher, that's scary. Let me tell you. We just don't know how scary it is and how close it can be. God is trying to wake us up. God is trying to get our attention. Now that might seem like the end of the story when you talk about the tree was uprooted, but that ain't it. It goes on just a little further. But we will change them into cedars. Cedars is a conifer tree. A little more resilient, but not as mighty as the sycamore. They said, we'll replace it and we'll change it into the cedars. Guess what was bought and donated to New York to place on that grassy mound in the exact location where the sycamore tree was? Cedar. It was of the conifer family. Cone-bearing evergreen. Was carried in with a crane and placed in the exact location where the tree was taken down because of the fall of the World Trade Center. Coincidence? I don't think so. But in their pride and arrogance, they put it back, not knowing they were fulfilling Scripture. You say, Richard, that's a stretch to say all that's happening in America. I'm not stretching too hard. Can't stretch too far anyway, but this is not a stretch. This is what happened. 6 days, the Walmart was closed. No, not 6 days. Walmart's closed. That'd be terrible. Walmart closed 6 days. Lord mercy. Wall Street was closed for 6 days.
On the day that they reopened, at the opening bell was one of the largest drops in Wall Street's history. We see the crash that took place then. 7 years to the day of the Jewish calendar, at a certain time, in a certain month, the same thing, 7 years of the Sabbaths, we had another great crash in 2008. It's not coincidence. God's trying to get our attention. God is trying to wake up America. It's like the song that Darrell sings, we're sleeping. What's going to happen while we're sleeping? We don't have time for our King. We don't have time to realize who He is. We're too busy worried about the Democrats and the Republicans and the Independents and the Tea Partiers. We're too worried about those things instead of seeking after God and seeking His face and asking Him. Now we see that God used Assyria to come against Israel to get their attention, but they didn't return. They didn't listen. They didn't soften their hearts. They didn't humble down and ask God for help. They became even more stiff-necked. So He allowed another people, the Babylonians, later on, to take them into captivity. We've not got to that point yet that we're taken into captivity. But we are seeing some of the things that God is allowing to happen in America to get our attention. To get our attention. Why is He wanting to get our attention? Because He loves us. He doesn't want us to continue the path that we're taking. He wants us to return to God. He wants us to listen with an ear and hear His words as He speaks to us. He's given it to us plain as day, in black and white if we'll read it. The Bible is one of the best-selling books in America. Unfortunately, it's not one of the best read. We use them for decoration on our coffee table. We carry it back and forth to church. We might even open it when the preacher asks us to. But how much more time do we spend in it? How much time do we look up things when we hear and say, well, it's got to be right. They couldn't quote it. They wouldn't quote it like that if that wasn't right. Read it in God's Word, because there's a lot of things being quoted that ain't God's Word. Being changed. Add a word, take away a word. He can make it say a whole lot of things. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouths. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Through all this, they still was rebellious. They didn't return to God. They didn't seek after Him. They still were walking away from God in their independence from Him, thinking we can handle it. Boy, don't we do the same thing? We can handle it. We can handle what happened in Benghazi. People that was left out there to fend for themselves, in my opinion of looking at it from what the reports have been saying. Their backs turned up on them. We do the same thing with God. We let Him go just to fend for Himself. We ain't got time for Him. We ain't got time for what's important. We got too much other stuff to worry about. These tragic things that take place in America that we see, these tragic shootings and things that's happening. Also, we see something in the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah. It's personal responsibility. Jeremiah and Ezekiel especially, where they teach us of personal responsibilities. You are responsible for the actions you take. And we need to teach that in America once again, that we are responsible for the decisions that we make and the actions that we take. No, what we look is we're going to sue Chevrolet because they make a car that goes too fast and we get out and wreck it. It's their fault that we're driving too fast. That's about ridiculous. I know some of you sitting there thinking, a Chevy can go fast enough to cause a wreck? Any of them. We sue the people that make soft drinks because they got too much caffeine in them. If you don't want it, don't drink it. You got a decision to make instead of suing somebody else over your decision. When it comes to personal responsibility. You chose to be in God's house this morning. You are personally responsible for making that decision to get up and come to the house of God. I hope this has not been boring to you. I hope it has opened your eyes to how these things are taking place, that we need to wake up in America, that we need to return to God, and we can only do it one household at a time. We can't win the whole nation at once, but we can work on them just a little bit at a time, one brick at a time. Maybe that simple brick that is made of mud and straw, that we'll replace and restore that which God has made, and what we need to restore back is returning to Him and bowing on our knees, that we can be strong in God. That in our strength we realize how weak we are, that we can't defend against these things when they come against us. But still yet, we are a defiant people. We walk alone, we think. We walk tall and strong. Talk loud and draw a crowd. That's our mentality. When we need to be talking soft and speaking to God. We need to be asking the one that has the leadership capabilities to lead us. He has the plan. Remember, it was stated, unto us a child is born, and upon His head the government will be placed. He's going to sit on the throne of David and rule, King of kings and Lord of lords. It's important that we see this taking place. And if you want more of the story, get into Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Daniel. Get into Daniel and read in Daniel. And then go to Revelation to get the rest of the story. As Daniel starts talking about it, King Nebuchadnezzar saw a statue. Four different kingdoms, his being at the top, each one of them going down in value of the material that the statue was made of. Each of them weakening a little bit more and a little bit more. We still have remnants of the ancient Roman Empire still today. A lot of influences that came out of the Roman Empire still in our land and country today with our government system and a lot of different things that they have credit for setting up. We still have that remnant. There's going to be a time, though, when it's going to be more than just a remnant. It's going to be a coming back together because the Romans were the ones that weren't defeated. They fell from within. The clay that was mixed with iron that we see of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Then we see, as he saw a great, mighty statue of power and precious metals as it started and as it ended up with the least valuable at the bottom, when God saw them and showed them to Daniel, they were considered as four beasts, as we see over in Daniel. So in man's eyes, we might see a global power. We might see authority. We might see greatness. But when God looks upon it, He sees it for what it truly is, as a beast. As a beast. It seems like our government is becoming a beast. More and more government, that's got to be more and more the answer. No, it needs to be more and more God. It needs to be the answer. More and more God. And if we'll have God rule us and reign over us, we won't have to suffer this. We see that Jeremiah prophesied. He wrote the book of Lamentation as it was a funeral poem for Jerusalem. We see that it was finally destroyed, brought to ruin, and its former glory taken away. God's Spirit left the temple. It returned, but there was a time when it had to leave because it couldn't inhabit the place any longer. I believe God has lifted His hands off America to let some things happen to us to see if His hedge of protection was truly taken away, what could happen. We're not out of this yet. And the only way that we can get out of it is to get on our knees and pray. To return to God as a nation. It takes each one of us praying that we will stand strong upon God's Word and that the next one will see and will take the same stand. That we stand together in the army of God, shoulder to shoulder. If a brother or sister suffers some defeat or trips along the way, that we reach down and pick them up, one on the left, one on the right, and carry them on together into the victory of God. But I want us to see this morning, the prophecy of the Old Testament is still alive today and still taking place. We've suffered many things in financially, but it's not over yet. God's still saying, I want you to return. I want you to return. I want you to return. Will we hear today? Friend, God wants you to return to Him if you're lost. He wants to make sure that you don't have to be separated from Him from an eternity of peace. He wants to save you this day. How close is salvation? God's Word said, it's even in your mouth. If you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth unto salvation, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. It's that simple. So simple, we make it hard. We make it hard. There's got to be more than that. You ain't going to live good enough. If you did, Jesus wouldn't have to come. You're not going to lay up enough goodness over there to outweigh your bad. When they put it on the scale, they're going to say, come on in. You're not going to get up there and be the millionth one in heaven and a light go off and say, come on in, if you're not saved. It ain't going to work that way. You're not going to win a sweepstakes and get a free trip to heaven. All you got to do is receive Jesus this morning. The greatest gift of all. You may say, well, preacher, this is kind of an odd message for Christmas time. I think it's right on time. God's always right on time. I don't want to question Him. I just want to do what He'd have me do. And I want you to do what God would have you do. And this morning, if you're lost, He wants you to be saved. He died for you this morning. And He wants to save you. He's on the throne in heaven just waiting, with arms outstretched, saying, come. Come. He's already put the blood on the mercy seat. Why not receive the gift? Why not receive the gift? He's wrapped this morning in a royal robe, seated at the Father's right hand. Instead of a bow upon His head, He has a crown. He is King, and He's sitting in His rightful throne. The right hand of this Father, the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. What a glorious King. Not a baby in a manger. Not the child in Bethlehem. But the Savior of the world that went to the cross of Calvary. Rose again and took His blood and placed it on His Father's mercy seat. Paid America's sin debt. Paid everyone's sin debt. If you'll only believe. As I get a song ready this morning, if you're here and you don't know Him as your Savior, the greatest thing I can show you that you can receive this morning is His love and His salvation. I'll show you in the Word of God what it says about being saved. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He told Mary, he asked her if she believed in the resurrection. She said, we know that you're the resurrection. She didn't fully understand that her brother Lazarus was going to be raised in just a few moments of time because the one that had the power over death was there. And was going to break up their funeral. Was going to break up the mourning time. And was going to turn their mourning into joy. Because He loved them. And it was for God's glory that He was able to raise Lazarus. And one time I was like Lazarus. I was dead and out in sin and trespass. But Jesus came in and gave me life. And He said, Brad, come forth. And I rose as a new creature in Christ. A new man, He said, He made all things new. He changed my destination from hell to heaven. He changed me from inside out. Gave me a new personality that I can be able to stand here and do this. And anybody that knew me before I saved knew I couldn't be able to do this on my own. But it's all of God. Friend, He'll change you as well. He'll strengthen you. He'll make you new. You won't give up anything. You'll obtain everything that God has. And that's a heavenly home and a peace in a time of trouble. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I know I'm lost and I need to be saved. Pray for me that I'll just obey God. pray for me that He'll help my unbelief, that I'll come and receive Jesus, that I don't have to go to hell, that I can go to heaven. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. Friend, there's going to be other people that will pray for you too. And all I'm going to do is say there's one that's raised their hand. But you've got to raise that hand to let us know that you know you're under conviction. God knows and you know. Friend, you're not going to have to go through it alone. You've got friends and family here that will pray with you, and pray for you, and be your strength that you will receive Jesus this morning. Preacher, in a way, I've been one of those that's been disobedient. I've closed my eyes to the things that's going on around this land and country. I've shut myself off in my own little world, and I'm not paying attention to what God's trying to say to America. Friend, whether we're listening or not, it's going on. We need to open our ears. Preacher, I just want you to pray for me that I'll open my ears and listen to what God is trying to tell America. That today I'll commit my heart to follow after Him even more than I have in the past. That seeing this prophecy being fulfilled, that I've been encouraged to know God's still on the throne and things are still going His way. Preacher, pray that I'll have strength to tell others about Jesus and about what's going on. Be a hand anywhere. God bless that hand. Bless that hand. Bless those hands. Bless that hand. Bless that hand. Church, would you just come pray? This is a heavy message this morning for America. That we wake up and see what's going on in America today. Will you stand in the gap for those that are not standing? Will you bring them to the altar of God and lift up America? She needs you this morning. She's knocked back on her heels and she needs a people that will pray and commit to God, that we can stand together and be strong, and that America can return to God, will return to God. There's still an avenue, but we must go down it. And it's the path that God has established. Will you come pray? As they finish this verse of song, you may be seated. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and for the comfort that it gives us. God, we thank You for the condemnation of sin. God, that You have set Your law, dear Heavenly Father, in heaven, and it's forever settled. That's right is right, that is wrong, and there's no changing it. God, I pray that our country will return to You, Lord. As we're seeing so much fulfilled, as this book has spoke about, dear God, and as we look into Your Word and look through history and look through the things that are taking place and the things that are happening and comparing it biblically, dear God, to the things that have been discovered and seen, Lord, how much it lines up and how much it is exactly word for word as Your prophecy has said. God, we pray that America returns before we are scattered as Israel, not being a nation, Lord. For many years, we've not been a nation of Americans. We've not been a nation of saved people. We have so many titles in America now that there's very few Americans. And God, there's very few Christian Americans left. But God, I pray for the remnant. Lord, that we'll stand strong, dear Heavenly Father, on Your Word as we read and study, that we'll be encouraged, that we'll stand, dear God, with an humbleness, not just a boldness, but an humbleness to Your Word to serve You, and a boldness unto You, dear God, to proclaim Your Word, to share it in this lost and dying world, dear God, that those that, dear Heavenly Father, are not seeing, their eyes might be opened, that the light might shine upon them as it was in the days, dear Heavenly Father, of Jonah preaching to Nineveh, that they repented of their sin and returned to You, dear God, and that You spared them for a time. But dear God, later we know they rebelled still against You. But God, there was a time of a coming back of a nation. God, we see through Your Word that many times that they were good kings, and as Israel, dear God, returned to You and followed after You, and near God than the wicked kings that came and they would turn their back and lead their people astray, dear Heavenly Father. We are afraid that our leadership in America has done the same thing in years past and even presently. Dear God, that we are leaving you out, that we are forgetting where our government should be founded, upon your shoulders, upon your head. And dear God, that we pray that we will return, dear Heavenly Father, to your authority. Lord, we know that times look dark, but God, that gives us encouragement that means that your light can only shine brighter in this dark world. And Lord, we pray because they didn't understand, they didn't comprehend the light. When you was here walking among them, Lord, we know that they're not going to completely comprehend the light now. But God, we want our light shining bright that they might see Jesus. Lord, give us oil for our lamps. Keep them burning bright, dear God. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we'll stand with the utterance, dear God, of the Spirit to teach us your word. Open our minds and hearts that it may guide us, that we can grow, and dear God, in the love and admonition of your word, and that we can be stronger Christians today than we were yesterday, but tomorrow we'll be stronger than we are today. God, through your strength, through your encouragement, Lord, that we may build our minds and focus our minds upon your word. We pray that you would bless these prayers that are going up from the altar, Lord, this morning, from the pews, Lord, that as the people pray, dear God, that you hear from heaven. Dear God, that we confess our sins, that we return to you, seek your face, dear God, that you will hear from heaven and heal your land. And God, we pray with the most humble heart that we can think of and be able to have, Lord, that you might, dear God, return our leadership in America to you, that you reach down into their hearts and minds, God, and show them how real you are on every aspect, dear God, whatever party they're with, whatever their stands are, dear God, that they might just become saved Christians, dear God, and put you in the government place, Lord. Put you first in all aspects of our life and in our prayer life, that we just thank you this morning for allowing us to read your word. We pray for our Christmas program this evening, God, that it will be used in a mighty way, that people might see, dear God, their life, dear Heavenly Father, in this program, and return to you even stronger, more committed than we've been as 2012 is coming to a close. 2013 about to begin. God, we're not worried that Friday may not come. Dear God, it may not come anyway. We might leave here today. But God, we'll give you glory for it. We'll be at home with you, but we pray for those that are unprepared, that will be left behind. God, we thank you for your love, for you not leaving us, not forsaking us, ever being with us all the way to the end of the earth. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to play another verse of song, if you would, this morning. I want to open the church doors. If you're here this morning and you'd like to join with us at the church, any way that we can receive members, by letter, recommendation, baptism, any way that a Baptist church can receive members, we'll be glad to wait upon you. Let's stand to our feet.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Spoke with Brother Tommy as they come in this morning back there, and he said they would like to join the church. They are still members out at Mount Carmel, so they want to join by letter from Mount Carmel. Upon receiving their letter, then we grant them into membership. So I present them to you as candidates by letter.